Well, I wonder what puts a smile on your face. Maybe it's lying down in your own bed after being away for a week at a camp. Maybe it's actually being able to sleep without your friends trying to wake you up at night. Maybe it's beating, or maybe I should say thrashing the poms at cricket. Put a smile on a few people's faces. Most of my friends were disappointed that it actually ended so early. Maybe it's when you open your stocking and there's all this chocolate just for you. Maybe it's seeing a friend for coffee. Maybe it's winning that board game that you never seem to win. One day I'll smile. These things and many more give us joy, don't they? They bring us great joy. And I think as we take a look at Luke's Gospel again this week, after seeing two sermons from Luke's Gospel last week on the birth of Jesus, this week we're going to look at the Ascension, and it's an event that should cause us great joy. Now, I'm sure as we go through Luke, there's many other reasons to be joyful. There's miracles where five loaves and two fish are used to feed 5,000. A son is raised to life. A woman is healed. There's calming of wind and waves. There's moments when the disciples recognize who Jesus really is. I mean, there's lots of moments, so lots of things that cause joy. But in Luke's Gospel, there are two things that cause great joy. And it's at the beginning and the end of the Gospel. It's his birth, Jesus' birth, and Jesus' ascension. These events were cause for great joy, or literally, mega joy. Both events had angels announce news about them to those who needed to hear, and these angels announced to them as events that were the cause of great joy. The birth and Jesus' ascension are the reasons for mega joy, great joy. Now, we read earlier in the Apostles' Creed, Luke, we might put that back up again. The Creed has a few parts to it. And the part about Jesus that we looked at last week was actually his birth, wasn't it? We can see there, it's a little bit different for me. The first line, it's not in different lines for me to see easily. It says he was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. That's what we saw last week. And then we go skip down to the second last sentence about Jesus where it said he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And we're going to look at that today. And then next week, the goal is that we'll look at that last line there where he will come to judge again to judge the living and the dead. So we're sort of doing like a little mini series on parts of the Apostles' Creed. So it'd be great now to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. You'll notice that there's two events in this section. Thanks, Luke. We'll get the Apostles' Creed off there. The first is Jesus appearing to his disciples after he rose from the dead, his resurrection, and then we have the ascension of Jesus in the last few verses. Now, to give you a bit of context of where we're up to in Luke's Gospel, because we've just gone from the birth to the very end, at the beginning of at the end of Luke chapter 23, Jesus was crucified and he was buried. And then at the beginning of chapter 24, the women take spices to Jesus' body, but the body's missing. Two men in white robes tell the women they're looking for Jesus in the wrong place because he's risen. The women tell the rest of the disciples, but they don't believe them. And we see Peter run off to the tomb to check for himself. And it's on that same day, verses 13 to 35 of chapter 24, that two of the disciples leave the others and they walk to Emmaus. And on the way, Jesus met them and they were kept from seeing Jesus while he told them why the Messiah had to die. And they only recognized Jesus as they ate together. And at that point, Jesus disappears. Those disciples then travel back to Jerusalem and tell everyone what had happened. And then while they're talking about it, Jesus stood among them, verse 36, which is where we read from today. Now, there's not a lot of things written about Jesus' time on earth after he rose and before he ascended, those 40 days. All the Gospels say something about it, but not a whole lot. John probably has the most of everyone. This particular part of Luke's gospel tells us that the disciples weren't ready to see Jesus back from the dead. We see in verses 36 to 43 show us that the disciples are still unsure of what to make of all this. And Jesus reminds them in verse 46 that this happened because the Old Testament said it would happen. And in verse 48, Jesus says to them, "Well, you are the witnesses about all these events." The disciples have seen the Messiah die on a cross, and now they see him alive, and he tells them to touch, to see, to look, to feel, so that they can be witnesses that Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus got them ready for the next part of their ministry. And he got them ready because he wasn't going to be with them for much longer. And then in verse 50, we see Jesus takes them to Bethany. As Russell described to us very clearly, it's a village on the Mount of Olives. He lifts his hands, he blesses them, and while he does this, he leaves them and he's taken up into heaven. Now, I find it amazing that when Jesus appeared to the disciples back in verse 36, that you see there that they were startled and frightened, but now 40 days later, the disciples have heard from Jesus and have listened to what needs to happen, and it seems like they're ready. So when Jesus is taken up into heaven, look at their response. It's quite different to when he first appeared to them in that room. Look at verses 52 and 53. It says, "Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God." So Jesus' preparation with them for the previous 40 days has obviously got them ready for this day. And all through the Gospels, we see the disciples on the verge of understanding, but sometimes saying the most ridiculous things that tell us they don't actually know what's going on. But here, finally, I think we see Jesus go and they celebrate and praise God. It seems like they have finally understood what this was all about. Now, we don't often talk about the ascension. We spend a lot of time talking about Jesus' death and resurrection, and for good reason. They're very important. The ascension is spoken of as the necessary complement to Jesus' resurrection, because it marks the final or the end of his time on earth, and it has him firmly established in heaven at his Father's side, and has him helping us in a different way. Now, the ascension can be found in a number of passages. It's not something that comes into dispute. Luke wrote about it twice. Jesus spoke about his ascension a few times in John's Gospels. It's mentioned about five times there. Paul refers to it a number of times, and Hebrews does too. And the ascension is essentially when Jesus left the earth and went into heaven. That's the ascension. And we can see it in verse 51 of our passage today, can't we? While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. It ended 40 days after Jesus was on earth, after his resurrection. And during that time, we see Jesus appear and disappear to different people. But this time it seems a little different, doesn't it? He doesn't just disappear from them. There's this gradual rising, taking to another place. He doesn't just disappear like he does at other moments at the end of the Gospels, but he's taken up into heaven. And if you look at Acts chapter 1, and we're going to have these next few verses on the screen so you can see, Acts 1, 9 to 11, there's a bit more detail on what happened. Again, this is Luke writing about the same event. And it says in verse 9, "After he," that is Jesus, "said this, he was taken before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back to you in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.'" So the angels explained to the disciples that Jesus went to a different place, into heaven. So what does it mean here that Jesus went into heaven? And I think we need to think about heaven in this way, that it's a physical place that Jesus went to. Now, I know some of you may have seen the movie Martian with Matt Damon. Much of the movie is about space travel and the time it takes to get from Mars to Earth, and there's this big rescue mission to get him taken off Mars. But we shouldn't think about Jesus going up into heaven as some sort of space travel to another planet, okay? We know from many parts of the Bible that Jesus went into a place called heaven, a place where he could go with his physical body. We saw his physical limitations on earth after he was resurrected because he appeared and disappeared in different places. But here he's taken up physically into a place, and he's given the power to reign over all the earth. We also know from the Bible that when Jesus went into heaven, he was seated at the right hand of God. Now let's take a look at a few more verses to see this. Hebrews 1 verse 3, it says, after he had provided for purification for sins, so this is his death and resurrection, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So Jesus here is given the seat beside his Father. He was given the place of honour, that's what it means, and it's from here that Jesus would now reign over all the earth. In Hebrews 4:14, it says, therefore, since we have a high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. Now this speaks about Jesus as the great high priest who ascends. He mediates for us. And then in chapter 9, verse 24, it says, for Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. So the ascension is Jesus ascent from earth after his ascension into a heavenly place where God lives. This is God's house or God's throne. And Jesus went into the presence of God in his physical form. Now the ascension is the final marker that all that Jesus had done while on earth was finished and completed. It means that we moved away from having a mediator in a physical temple here on earth to having a mediator who is present in heaven alongside the Father, and he intercedes for us. Now, there's lots that I'd like to say about heaven and this being a spiritual place, and I think that there's so much that we could talk about heaven being a spiritual place that we cannot see. And I don't think we're going to get a lot of time to look at all of that today. But I think as I've thought about this, I really see that sometimes things that are spiritual are hidden from us. And we can't see them. And I think even in this passage today, we saw Jesus, as he talked to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they talked about how their hearts burned within them because they were with Jesus, and he told them about these spiritual things. And this spiritual place is a real place, as I've heard it talked about, as a more real place than earth. And I think that's really good for us to remember. But the question that we probably have for today is, well, how does knowing that Jesus ascended into heaven help us? How does it help us? And there's three reasons that they help us, that it helps us. And they're in your outline if you want to see them there. The first is that Christ is before us. Now, we know that Jesus died and he was raised to life and that he ascended into heaven. Jesus goes before us in all these things. And this means that when we die, we don't need to make our own path. We don't have to try and rise from the dead, or we don't have to try and find our own path to heaven, or our own path to wherever it might be, because Jesus went before us. He has done it. He has risen from the dead. He has appeared to his disciples, and he has gone up before them into heaven. And this will happen for us too. So because of our union with Christ, we have been tied together through a spiritual bond. We're God's children, unbreakable. And because of this, we know that we will ascend into heaven too. We will go to this place. And it's comforting for us as followers because it means that death is not the end. It means that as we grow old, or even if we get sick while we're young, that no matter what happens to us in this sinful world, we are safe in Jesus. Now, many of us worry about something. Most of us worry about a lot of things, I think. But when you put these worries in their right place, and remember that Jesus has ascended before you, he went up before his disciples into heaven, the angels confirmed it to them, and that one day you will follow him, well, these worries shouldn't be such a big problem after all, should they? In many ways, we need the reminder of what's ahead, don't we? We need to be reminded of the heaven that we'll be raised up into. And maybe we don't fully understand everything about the future. There's much more that we could talk about this. And in many ways, that's why we go back to the Bible, isn't it? Because it's in the Bible that we read from those who saw these things, and we hear from them what they saw. We understand the Bible to be reliable and trustworthy, so we can praise God and be confident that the future we're told about is the future we can hang on to. We can be certain about it. So Christ before us. The next point is that Christ is with us. Now, when Jesus ascended into heaven, he also became available to all people. Now, Jesus went into heaven and is now present in a new way through his Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Now, all followers of Jesus now have direct access to the Father. The coming of the Holy Spirit from Jesus enabled his disciples to be witnesses for him. They were to be witnesses of what they heard and saw Jesus do. The Holy Spirit gave them the strength to speak. It reminded them of what they did with Jesus while he was present with them. And there are many things that the Holy Spirit did for them. And in many ways, the Holy Spirit is still at work today in each one of us. We are his witnesses. We are the witnesses of Jesus to those around us. We have the Holy Spirit within us that compels us to go and speak of his name to those around us. We have the Holy Spirit who comforts us when we're worried. It's the Holy Spirit who urges us to pick up our Bible and read. It's the Holy Spirit who urges us to pray. It's the Holy Spirit who helps us avoid sin and take care of those in need. See, it's in sending the Holy Spirit, Jesus then made himself available to all people at all times. He doesn't need to appear and disappear and try and meet all our needs. No, because he is with each one of us all the time. We're filled with the presence, with his presence through the Holy Spirit. Jesus is with us through thick and thin. Christ with us. And then lastly, the ascension shows us that Christ is in us. Now, when Jesus ascended and was seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, he's been given the place of extreme authority. He has the highest place of anyone in all creation. He has the power to transform a lowly sinner into a fragrant offering pleasing to his Father. Isn't that a wonderful thought? He's able to forgive us for all our rebellion. We are able to go to Jesus and find mercy and grace because he is seated next to his Father. He's able to intercede for us as we go through all sorts of pain. See, Christ works in us to bring us to himself. And because we're in Christ, we no longer live for self, but we live for him. We become people who look and act like Jesus. We'll love one another like God loved us. We'll give generously because we know that God will provide our every need. We'll never seem to worry about anything. We'll quietly but firmly refuse to join in with evil. And we'll speak on behalf of those who don't have a voice of their own. See, when Christ is in us, things change. And it's great to think about as we enter a new year. I mean, there's so many things that we can get tied up with. But knowing that Christ is in us, we can be sure that as we embark on a new year and as we think about how we can grow in our faith, we can ask for his help and he will give it. Ask Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of his Father in his heavenly place, to help you grow to be more like him. It's comforting to know that we have access to the highest place in all creation. So ask him to help. Christ in us. The ascension of Jesus into heaven marked the end of Jesus' work on earth. From his birth to ascension, we know that Jesus was physically present. But now Jesus has ascended and is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And this is a moment of mega joy. Mega joy. Christ before us. Christ with us. Christ in us. Let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we praise your name for taking your Son up and seating him in the place of highest honour. We pray for this new year ahead and we ask that we may commit ourselves to knowing you more. Help us to know how wide and long and high and deep is the love of your Son. Help us to know your greatness and your infinite power. May you be glorified through us. And we ask this through your Son, who is seated at your right hand. Amen.